Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
The Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man, and I got to tell you, I hope your Wednesday is going a whole hell of a lot better than mine is. Oh, let's see. What do we have going on? All right, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up over there. It did go up a little later than normal, but I warned you about that yesterday. So swing on by there, check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
All right. I need you to do something to me here. I can't seem to figure this one out. So I'm going with your expertise on this and all that other good stuff. Why are there so many injuries in Major League Baseball this year?
Why is there what?
So many injuries in Major League Baseball this year.
I'll go back to what Mr. Fantasy told me several years ago when I was like, why are there so many damn oblique injuries? Maybe it's because you didn't pay enough attention to the whole league, and now you're just seeing more of it because you're involved in fantasy sports. I don't know. Maybe these guys were all great white hyping it last year when they didn't play for so long. I don't know. Maybe they're not injuries. It's all COVID, right?
I don't think so. I just saw today that Marcell Ozuna will miss the next 6 weeks, the Atlanta Braves outfielder. During the White Sox game today, not only did he have because I believe he strained a groin or a hamstring, but Michael Kopech fell while making a pitch and limped off. So, we'll have to keep an eye on that. Cardinals this morning placed Harrison Bader on the IL before that game even started. So it's like, every day there seems to be, somebody that has a little marquee value that we know of, or like you mentioned, fantasy is very fantasy relative, that ends up going on the IL. And it's crazy that we've just seen so many damn injuries.
Well, and to be fair, I don't think you could really include Adam Eaton into that conversation because that's kind of an expectation, isn't it?
Well, he still got hurt. if you want, you could throw Corey Kluber in there, who left his start after, I think it was 3 innings yesterday because he had tightness in his shoulder.
Yeah. Well, and I hate to go this route, but it's what I've been kind of plugging for the last few years. I honestly think that a big portion of it is due to the fact that they're doing more weightlifting than guys who played in the early, prior to the Mark McGwire era. Everyone wants to be in great shape, which is obvious, but I don't know. I don't see a whole lot of value in having major league ball players bench pressing, 100-pound dumbbells, you know, shoulder-pressing 100-pound dumbbells. I think they should all be in great shape. I mean, even some of the stuff Mike Trout does, I think, is over the top. Granted, you know, his I think one of his biggest injuries was this year so far. And, you know, that's not to take away from him. He's in great shape. The young man kind of feel old. He's in great shape, and he's been able to perform, at, you know, at a high level. But I still think that a big part of the injuries that occur, you know, like you mentioned, the tightness. Well, how do you get that tightness? Well, when you're lifting too heavy of weights, you know, you need that down period of a couple of days. And that's where tightness comes from. It comes from lifting weight. You know, one of the guys who was very successful when he played for the Cubs, and now he's back again, he didn't seem to do a whole lot in Philly, was Jake Arrieta. And if you remember, his routine was more based on yoga and stretching. You know, and I think that has a bigger play into it. When you've got, you know, the top roster guys, the guys with, you know, multi-million-dollar contracts making all this money, they're expected to be doing that. And that's even a locker room thing, the competition between, you know, let's just say me and you, you know, you benched, you know, 150. I want to bench 160. I bench 160. You want to do 170. You know what I mean? And it's great competition, but at the same time, I think a lot of the weightlifting that is incorporated into Major League Baseball is too much.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's so bad for the Mets that they had to make a deal with the Brewers to get an outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're missing two-thirds of their starting outfield, and then one of the guys they called up to help fill in got hurt. Not to mention Alberto Almora got hurt. He's, you know, obviously a backup, and Kevin Pillar as well got hit in the head, or the face, I think. Get the Mets is pretty close to almost 20 guys on the IL. Luckily, they got Jacob DeGrom back, but bad news was Noah Syndergaard, who hasn't pitched at all this year, had to leave his start last night because he felt pain in his, you know, I don't know if it's forearm or bicep. So, you know, they're just having a ridiculous year there, and the fact that, you know, they're still managing win games, and I believe they're still first place in the NL East somehow. And I mean, it's just kind of a makeshift. Yeah, they're from Atlanta right now, and kind of a lineup of guys with the injuries they've got going on. It's just nuts. And you know, like I said, every day it's somebody else.
Yeah, and, you know, and I hate to, like I said, I hate to go that route, but I think there's a lot of truth behind it. You know, and I think part of it stems from the NFL because, you know, these guys are semi-bodybuilders, you would say, especially defensive or linemen. And, you know, even some of the running backs, if you've seen, man, I've seen videos of some of these guys training, and they are beasts, you know. So things that these guys do for the NFL is just insane. And the stuff that they can do to me is just, you know, it defies humanity, so to speak. But on a day, you know, on a, well, weekly, they have to push that weight. You know, they're coming up against a guy who's, you know, if you're on the line, 300 pounds, that's trying to, you know, push with 400 pounds of pressure against you. You know, you've got a lot of weight you're throwing around, and to tackle 235, you know, up to 65, 275 guy that's running, you got to have that strength. So it makes sense to me. And I think that when you start getting into the physical therapy part, not physical therapy, but the physical training part of it, and you get some of these guys who are employed by the team that maybe worked with the NFL or football teams, they bring some of that over, and it's just, it's a different animal. I mean, they should be doing more workouts based similar to what a golfer would be using. And I like to use that example because of, you know, the way the body turns when you're swinging a golf club to a baseball bat is very similar. And, you know, you understand, well, I know the game of golf has changed. We've got a lot of younger guys in it now, but the golf that I grew up watching was all old dudes, you know, 50s, 60s. You know, those were all the famous guys. You really didn't hear about the, you know, the guys that are younger than me now, 30s and 40s. And, you know, for those guys to keep in shape, today, you know, golfers aren't bench pressing 300 pounds. You know, they're not pushing that weight tree with, you know, 300 pounds, 100 yards back and forth. You know, they're not curling 75-pound weights. And I'm not to say that baseball players can't do that, which, you know, they can if they want to, but I think that's a big portion of it. You know, the most injuries, not even injuries, but nagging injuries that I had, stiffness. Oh, well, that was because I, you know, lifted the weight the wrong way. Or, you know, I went to go pick up the 100-pound dumbbell, but I didn't bend at the knee, so now I got a nice little crink in my back. Or I arched my back, I didn't keep it straight, and now I got this little pinch in between my shoulder blades. You know, a lot of that stuff comes from weightlifting.
Yeah, here, now I'll give you an update, Dan, here. The report on Corey Kluber is he has a subscapular strain in his rotator cuff. This report says he's going to miss 4 weeks, but there's another one here that says they believe he will miss up to 8. So obviously he's on the IL for the Yankees, and they also added first baseman Luke Voit, who has a grade 2 oblique strain, to the 10-day IL. So I guess maybe it's something in the New York water.
But, you know, I mean, obviously with rotator cuff issues, that's going to happen with a pitcher. But if you want to speed that up, keep bench pressing heavy weights.
So, yeah, and then, you know, Lance McCullers went on the DL for the Astros. So, you know, just another guy there. And then Nick Senzel, the Reds outfielder, had knee surgery. He'll be out about 6 weeks. So he can come back the same time as Ozuna for their respective teams. It's just crazy. You know, either, you know, when it comes to baseball, I'm either reading about Shohei Ohtani or I'm reading about injuries. I just can't seem to find any middle ground anymore. And it's just nuts. And these aren't like, you know, minor injuries. You know, I mean, Kluber's going to miss 2 months. You know, he won't be back till basic August. You know, Ozuna and Senzel come back with what, late July, missing 6 weeks. So, you know, Bryce Harper's on the IL. You know, we'll see how long he ends up being out. And it's just, you know, it's crazy when you start to think about it that for whatever reason, you know, guys can't stay healthy. And if this was the NBA, they would claim that it was the short season last year and not enough time off. Obviously, baseball didn't have that problem. There's something going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just insane. And you didn't tell me Nico Horner went on the IL. Why'd you leave that out?
Yeah. I was waiting for Schomburg, too, to email you that one.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, just, you know, like I said, it's just kind of nuts that, you know, again, every day, hey, look, who's hurt today? You know, and I'm trying to put my damn fantasy lineup together, and, you know, I got to pray I can feel the team.
Yeah, well,
because obviously it's one pickings.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard to even, with all the injuries that you bring up, it's hard to make trades due to the fact that, you know, the other teams have just as many issues as we do. You know, with that, I'm lucky in the one league where I only have Jake Odorizzi on the IL, but on the other league, I think I have all IL spots filled, and I have a couple guys that are still on the IL. And one thing to throw out there, Big Jack, I just learned this by accident. If you pick up a guy that's NA'd right now, you could pick up as many spots as we have. I don't remember how many I put in. They go straight to the NA. They don't even go to your roster. Did you know that one?
No. No, you know, I did not see that one. Good to know.
Well, I mean, and I only discovered this by accident because I was trying to fill pitching, and there's a Houston pitcher who was called up, you know, because Odorizzi's down. Someone else was down, and his last name starts with an A. I don't remember at the top of my head, but I picked him up because he was N-A, but, you know, he had the green check mark for the next day. And then I go back to my team, and I don't see him right away because, you know, it automatically supposed to put him in your starting position. Well, you get that option. So I go back to search for him to go try to add him to my team. And I'm like, oh, wait, he's already on my team. He's just an N-A. So that was something interesting I learned last week.
Oh, yeah, I did not know that. And the number for NA positions is 3, by the way. So,
well, because every night, Big Jack, the one league where I have so many pitchers on IL, I go through and I look for the next day who's starting, and I kind of judge, you know, who should I go with?
Yeah, I'm, you know, luckily I did manage to get a couple guys back this week, so my injury list is no longer full in one of the leagues. In the other one, yeah, it's full as it can get, and that's it. So, yeah, it's just kind of nuts with the way, you know, it's been going on. But, you know, we'll see. Maybe it'll be better for the second half, and, you know, that'll help.
You know, and speaking of the second half, and I think we slightly minorly discussed this maybe a season or two ago. You know, it had to have been something to do with last season, especially with the COVID and not having games and whatnot. But, you know, I was kind of thinking about how minor league system does things with, you know, the first half, second half. I don't really know that having, you know, two halves, season winners, you know, kind of that thing going on would really work as far as, you know, playoffs go. But what I was thinking about, and I just kind of want to get your thoughts on this, and I thought it would make the game just slightly more interesting. Maybe not that much more interesting, but, yeah, well, to me it would make it more interesting. But doing half-season awards, I mean, I don't know. For me, I could do without the All-Star game. You know, to me it doesn't really do a whole lot. I thought it was cool when they had the game mean something. You know, so you got to win, play to win. But at the same time, it just, I don't know. I kind of under the impression that, you know, the way scheduling goes, if they can knock back some games and just give a week off in the middle of the season, the actual middle point, you know, maybe do that weekend for some All-Star stuff and then give the guys the week off, but then do mid-season awards. You know, all the awards we have at the end of the year, you know, the MVPs and Cy Young and all that stuff, kind of do a half season, and then I don't know if you'd want to do full season at the end of the year or just the second half. But I thought it would add a little something to the game, especially due to the fact that, you know, with the rookie of the year, you know, with the way they things work out, you know, the game's missing. I thought that would be a way to get something for the guys who may not have played as much. But even that, you know, with injuries and, you know, that you brought up, a lot of guys can end up sitting out for a lot of the first half and, you know, may come back in the second half, but, you know, just might not have the numbers to really qualify to be an award winner. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that would spark some more interest in the game because you'd have the two season awards as opposed to just voting for an All-Star game, which to me doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't really add any value. The only value you get out of the All-Star game is if the player has in his contract that he gets an extra $50,000 because he, you know, got voted into the All-Star game. What were your kind of thoughts on that? Do you think that's a little too minor league-ish?
Well, first off, I would only vote for Shohei Ohtani. because, you know, we're part of the media, and I want to vote in line with the rest of the media. So he would be my MVP and Cy Young in the American League, no matter what else happens until we get to the All-Star break. The biggest problem, of course, obviously, is depending on how you try to do it. You know, I mean, because, you know, if you email the guys in our fantasy leagues, I doubt you're going to get a bunch of replies. You know, and it may actually just end up being to the point where it's just you and I voting. So,
I meant Major League Baseball as a whole.
Oh, them? No, they're never going to do that. That's more of a media thing. You know, there are always mid-season awards. You know, you see a ton of articles written about that and, you know, those kind of things. But baseball itself will never – they're never giving up the All-Star game, you know. As long as TV wants it, they'll continue to put it out there. And you got to remember, the game sells out. So, you know, they make money off it.
Yeah, well, I don't mean rid of the All-Star game. I just meant in general having – you know, a first half award and a second half.
Yeah, no, they'll never do anything like that. It's too. I'm trying to. I think you might be right. It's a little too minor league-ish, you know, and that's more of the thing to let the media talk about it. You know, let them, you know, haggle. Look at the great first half this guy had, and, you know, stuff like that. And yeah, baseball, just that they're not gonna, you know, unless we manage to get a whole bunch of young people buying teams and infiltrated into the commissioner's office, I don't see that changing anytime. I think you and I'll probably be gone by the time anything like that actually happens. So, because I think there are actually people who still actually like and watch the All-Star game. And to be fair, out of all the sports, it is the most real representation of the game that it shows. So, you know, I mean, the Pro Bowl doesn't look like anything the NFL does, neither does the NHL game or the NBA game or baseball. It's actually a baseball game that they play. So that's a big plus for them. Oh, did you fall off or did you mute yourself? What did you do? Because I can't hear you.
Yeah, I muted myself.
There we go. Yeah. But just a quick update here. If you have time to adjust your fantasy lineups, the Toronto Blue Jays at the New York Yankees game has already been postponed. So if you want to jump on and make some moves there. We do have a couple finals. The St. Louis Cardinals shut out the Chicago White Sox 4-0. The Minnesota Twins beat the Baltimore Orioles 3-2. And we have two games rolling along right now. The Oakland A's are beating the Mariners 6-0. In the bottom of the seventh, and the Los Angeles Angels are knocking around the Texas Rangers right now. It's 9-1 in the bottom of the fifth. So, you know, you can go in and get all your Yankees and Blue Jays out of your lineup, because obviously they're not going to give you anything tonight in your daily or weekly leagues or whatever you got going on. So, check that all out. And then, you know, if you're just looking for some stats, John Gant got the win for the Cardinals in that game. Michael Pineda picked up the win for the Twins, and then Hansel Robles picked up a save there. So you can add some, extra stats there for you, because I'm sure Pineda, Gant, and Robles are – well, I know they're on a team in both of our leagues for sure. And I know anybody with a bigger league is probably, probably has these guys. So, you know, that'll be big for you. you know, and luckily for me, Trevor Bauer starts tonight. I actually have a fantasy league right now. It's Wednesday, and I have no innings from starters. I haven't had a start yet. So luckily we did lower our innings limit because I'll make 20. All I need is one start from each guy, and I'll get there. But, yeah, I was just like, wait, it's Wednesday. How do I not have at least one frickin' start? But, yeah, just one of those oddities, the kind of way it falls. And that just means, you know, one of these days this week I'm going to get five starts or something and have to figure out how to juggle my pitching rotation to work it out. But, you know, again, that's just kind of how, you know, fantasy works sometimes. Either, you know, get a bunch of starts through, you know, you get two starts a week from your guys, or you get one start all on the same day. But yeah, and then it does look like Mickey Callaway, Major League Baseball has finally made a decision into his alleged sexual misconduct. Now, as you know, Callaway was the Angels pitching coach, actually, but he has been on suspension. And baseball decided that, as they worded it here, they concluded that Mr. Callaway violated all these policies and that placement on the ineligible list is warranted. So he will be unable to accept the job in Major League Baseball. Oh, God, there we go. Until the end of the 2022 season. So, Dan, is it interesting that Mickey Callaway got a longer suspension for his sexual misconduct than anybody did for cheating?
Well, did anyone get anything for cheating except for two managers?
No, just players all got immunity to testify. Oh, and I forgot to mention, not surprisingly, the Angels followed up this story by firing Callaway. So,
yeah. So it's funny that, you know, the way baseball acts, it's, they're essentially like big government, so to speak, where you just find the scapegoat, you know, the managers, Mickey Callaway, and then, you know, everyone else is okay. So it's kind of stupid to me. I mean, had Rob Manfred came down on the Houston Astros, they wouldn't even have a team to compete, and it would have killed that team.
Yeah.
But they would have deserved it. And especially after I heard what came out a couple weeks ago, that the Astros manager actually asked and knew about it and pressed, you know, kind of put something on the players to stop cheating, and nobody listened, and they continued to do it. So, you know, the investigation that Major League Baseball did, I don't know, to me, I lose faith in the office of the commissioner. Or I guess I didn't lose it, I just absolutely have no faith in anything that he represents or does.
But, you know, what I see here, I think probably a death to Callaway's career. Now, he did have in baseball for about a year. So, you know, at least he has that. But both of those managers are now in the dugout. You know, all of the same team, at least AJ, he changed teams.
Yeah, AJ and Cora should have been suspended, but so should have that entire team. Anyone that was involved in it. I mean, you know, and it's just funny because there's associated and no real evidence that they could prove with Roger, Barry. I mean, Mark was kind of caught up. Sammy, they never proved anything.
Palmeiro, that report came out to Mitchell, whatever. So, but for the most part, you know, these guys were ostracized for being cheaters, cheating the game, you know, so far that it went to Congress. But yet, when the evidence is clear and Major League Baseball had investigated and determined that the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox cheated to win a World Series, it was just the manager's fault. And, you know, whoever, depending on how their careers go, you know, these guys could all go into the Hall of Fame, but there will be no question about it. They didn't do anything wrong. But yet they cheated.
Yeah, I have no problem with this way. You know, I mean, in all honesty, a little more if more the truth, because he was nuts, you know, when he was. But I mean, the thing that me is the fact you get cheating.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's what Mickey Callaway did, and I don't even really know because I didn't really look into it. But you know, the sexual harassment, you know, kind of takes away the integrity of the game and who they hire, right? So that would be kind of a basis for what they would go after him for, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But yet, you've got guys who completely ruined the entire integrity of the game by cheating, and nothing happened to them. They didn't even get a slap on the wrist.
No.
Nothing. You know, so it's just, I don't know. I guess that's what happens when you're part of the good big old, you know, the good old boys club or whatever they call it.
Yeah. That's just, you know, if the player to make any kind of case, otherwise we all got together and, you know, I think they were right about Moses. Almost Beltran is out of baseball.
Yeah.
So he got hired as the Mets manager and was then suspended, and they got a job. Alex got the first job, which was by the Red Sox. And Carlos Beltran got the chance. So he's really the only one out of all of them. You know, it's just. And I don't even know else on that
list.
Have anybody else out of the game lately?
Just Pete Rose.
Yeah. He's the guy. Because I don't even think these steroids have been put on that.
No. Yeah. Barry was brought in for a managing position, a coaching job. McGuire brought in for a coaching job. You know, not that I'm going to take it away from them, but, you know, they were alleged to have just ruined the game, ruined the integrity of the game, yet, you know, nothing really happened. I don't know. I mean, it even goes back to the way Roger Goodell handled the Ray Rice situation.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and I hate to bring the race into it, but then that kicker from the Giants, you know, then he got his ass handed to him for doing less than what Ray Rice did.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want the second time.
Yeah.
Oh.
But, you know, why wasn't Goodell trying to high cover that up? I don't know. Well, you know, and that's the biggest thing is they can skate around it because you put a commissioner in who generally has some kind of law background, and if it's not listed, you know, and that was the whole problem with the NFL with, you know, domestic abuse, was there was no rules or guidelines or circumstance, you know, to follow. So it was just like, well, maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that. Same thing with Major League Baseball.
So, yeah, like right now, following the list, and I forgot, and we should have known about this one, Roberto Alomar apparently just joined that list. You know, he there was an investigation into claims he had harassed a Blue Jays staffer all the way back in 2014. And the Blue Jays actually took his banner down, but he does stay in the Hall of Fame. The Astros general manager, Brandon Taubman, was put on the list. Same thing, inappropriate comments towards a female reporter. John Capella, who was the Braves general manager, got the ban because they disregarded, or they circumvented, I should say, Major League Baseball's rule on international signings. And then the last one is Chris Correa, who facilitated the Cardinals stealing the Astros database. And Correa is actually now in jail.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
So those are the four guys that is banned. Generally, was what he was reinstated in 2018. So, but yeah, and so if you go back, it looks like the only person in the league land shot slurs. So the man from the favorite before Seal go any farther back than Howe with the band. Remember, Howe was a just had all the drug and alcohol. And I think he was 6 or 7 times ended it. And Vincent suspended George for let me find this. Apparently, he paid an investigator $40,000 back in the year 1990, equal to about and now. Dig dirt on. Yeah, so obviously Brenner was put back. You know, I mean, way back, you can talk about the 1991. The guys here and there that were fixing game. None recently. So, yeah. Those Callaway and four other guys now. One of those fun things when it comes to baseball. So. But, yeah, I don't believe anybody has ever gotten a lifetime ban for performance-enhancing drugs. You know, they just get the 80 games, which is the minor league one. You know, and then they get 50 or, like, you know, I know Alex Rodriguez and Ryan Braun missed a chunk of games. So, But yeah, just, you know, one of those odd, you know, odd things. And like I said, I have no issue with what they did to Callaway. But yeah, you know, my only kind of question was, you know, they didn't do this to people who cheated. So. Just one of those, again, one of those odd, you know, odd things that baseball tends to do. So, we'll, you know, hopefully they won't have to, you know, they won't have any more problems like this as people apparently get smarter and don't act stupidly towards women, even though they are reporters and, you know, you think that it's okay. It's not. Sorry, guys. Hate to rain on your parade. So, but yeah, the Tampa Bay Rays, I believe they lost last night, so their winning streak came to an end at, God, was it 10 or 11 games or something? They were rolling along there. So Dan, who has the longest winning streak in Major League Baseball now?
The White Sox. I forgot.
No, they lost it. I have to look. I honestly don't know. That's why I thought maybe you did. So I'm going to look and see. Oh, my God. How did you not know this, Dan? It's the Los Angeles Dodgers who have won 8 consecutive games as they head into Houston tonight for a matchup with the Astros. The Dodgers are currently just a half a game behind the Padres for first place in the West, and sadly, your Giants are a game and a half out now. So I guess everybody panicked about the Dodgers too soon, Dan, kind of like the Yankees?
Oh, yeah. You got to panic quick. Although I was panicking when Arias was trying to throw that perfect game.
Yes, and then on the very sad other end of the spectrum, there are two teams with 9-game losing streaks. The Arizona Diamondbacks, who face the Giants tonight, are 1, and then the Baltimore Orioles, who are actually off today before starting a series with the White Sox tomorrow. They have both lost 9 games in a row. So yeah, not a pretty sight there.
Up.
All right. Well, what
else?
You watching all the NBA playoffs? Got it all figured out now?
Oh yeah. Somehow the Lakers are going to win it all, right?
Yeah, I would say. Well, my guess is what the NBA wants is the Brooklyn Nets against the Lakers. And the Nets are actually playing, so it wouldn't be much that they would if they were there. I'm a little surprised on how the NBA considering those guys played like no one whatsoever. But it, through 2 games ago, it seems to be working out, but maybe that tells more about the Celtics. You know, the Lakers lose game 1. They bounce back, got a win, even though Anthony Davis did kick some guy in the cojone. So we'll see if the response. But if you do blog on sportstimeradio.com, I'll go about that there. So you can my opinion on that over there. Yeah, you really see any other options for a final for the NBA? You know, I mean, unless they could somehow get the Knicks, I don't see that happen.
I don't see that happening. I think that's, like you said, probably what the NBA and ESPN would like is, you know, the Brooklyn Nets versus the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, you know, and if you get the Nets, you do get a New York. So the game obviously wouldn't be in that regard. At least you would get a New York. So
yeah,
sure, they would be. You know, they would be pretty happy with that. But
I
yeah,
think
I.
Part of it too, part of it is, you know, you have LeBron versus Durant, which everyone loves. And then you've got Kyrie there, too.
Yeah, and James Harden.
Oh, yeah. Harden. So, you know, they could do what they did when it was the Warriors versus LeBron. You know, now it would be the Nets versus LeBron. Not the Lakers versus the Nets. Be LeBron.
But, yeah, you know, the Lakers, you know, they'll have to figure out how to get by Phoenix while they're hurting. That's probably not going to be big of a deal. I don't really – there's any West that's going to help. You know, I mean, I know that, you know, I mean, had really good seasons, but, you know, listen, its best player, so they're not going to challenge. Utah does get Donovan Mitchell back, but really, Andy, honestly, think the NBA wants the Utah Jazz with Karl Malone or the NBA Finals again anytime soon?
No, that's why they don't even get games on national, do they?
No. They're playoff games that obviously end up on NBA TV.
Yeah.
So, to be fair, they are on TNT tonight. They're the late game on TNT tonight. So, it's just kind of odd, and you know, we'll see how it goes. But I figure it's, you know, again, for what, you know, maybe you can explain this to me, Dan, because I can't figure this one out. You know, you would think again, and we've kind of talked about this a little before, but why does a league that obviously hires people with fantastic marketing degrees still seem to just concentrate everything they do around a, you know, now 36, going to be turning 37 LeBron James, instead of trying to build up some of these other younger guys? I mean, you know, at least, you know, John Williamson looked like he's going to be a great player. He didn't make the playoffs, but Jabba did at Memphis. Dodd, do you hear anything about him? Do you even know who he is?
No, I was going to say, Big Jack, just imagine for a moment, you've got the bright eyes, you've just graduated college with your bachelor's in marketing, and, you know, you didn't go to a art school, so to speak. You went to the school. Yeah, I don't know where the NBA is headquartered, but let's just pretend like you went to Columbia University in New York, somewhere like that. And now you've got your marketing degree. You're ready to go. Your internship was with the NBA. You're highlighted on their LinkedIn page. It's a post with you and like 10 other interns. But then, you know, the season starts, and it's a post with you and, like, two of those interns who got the job with the NBA. And you have all these bright ideas. You want to take the NBA and market it to the next level. You know, you're not just concerned with the United States. You want to go worldwide, and you want to market the league. And you present what your findings are, what your plan would be to your boss. And it just gets shut down because coming from the top, all they care about is LeBron.
Yeah, you know, because if you think about it, you know, the Knicks, they were good this year. Gigantic superstar. You know, Russell did just win most improved player, and he had a great year. You know, they did pick up R.J. Barrett in the draft a couple of years ago. And, I mean, you could legitimately just tell the Knicks and the fact that they played in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. Well, and it's...
Yeah, you know.
I was going to say, do you think the owner had anything to do with any negativity towards the team, so to speak, the Knicks? But you're right. I mean, you know, that was the biggest difference between, you know, before ESPN kind of took over and made it national, was everything was regional, and it wasn't a bad thing. I mean, you even go back to the wrestling days when you had the territories that, you know, well, we can all blame it on Vince McMahon because he consolidated the territories, and NBA and everyone else was like, oh, we should do what he did, made him a billionaire. So they do that, and, you know, and I'm not going to knock, you know, I'm not going to sit there and tell my nephew or, you know, some 10-year-old little kid that's, you know, in 5 years when he's 15, 16, or 18, how, you know, when I watched it, it was so much better because it was. But, you know, that was something my sister-in-law was up here, and her boyfriend, you know, he's within 10 years of me. You know, so while I was a kid, he was a teenager becoming a young adult watching the NBA. You know, we were talking about how, you know, in the 90s, especially when I was watching the NBA on Saturdays on ABC, and all, you know, all those shows, I forget, with Felicia Rashad, Ahmad Rashad, you remember, you know, he did all the NBA stuff on the weekends. And, you know, every team had a guy. You know, it wasn't just like it is now. Every team had a guy. You know, the Hornets had Larry Johnson, Grandmama. You know, he was marketable. The Suns, you know, they had Dan Majerle. They had Kevin Johnson. Kevin Johnson, you know, had the shoes. They were both marketable players. You know, you brought up Karl Malone and John Stockton, even though I think this generation would be like, oh, when he, you know, the Laker? You're like, no, he played for the Jazz, both of them. You know, of course, obviously here we had, you know, Scotty, Michael, and Rodman. But, you know, you go back to the Knicks, Charles Oakley and Patrick Ewing. San Antonio had, you know, Tim Duncan, you know, for his entire life, which, you know, it surprised me when I picked back up the NBA. I'm like, he's still playing? Damn. You know, every team had a guy. Every region had a guy. But now, you know, they don't have a guy because the guy they got ended up leaving to go play with his boys up in blah, 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 you know, to create the super team. And I think that's what makes the NBA just a little less attractive as it is, you know, compared to today where, you know, even with the playoffs, you and I aren't big NBA fans to begin with, but the playoffs completely turns you and I off because it's so easy to predict. And is that a matter of that we think the game is fixed? No, I wouldn't say the game is fixed. I think they have a way around that. Guiding a game in a certain direction, which they learned from Vince McMahon too. But it doesn't have any appeal. You know I could sit there and you could round off and I'll just look, okay, well, the A's, they're going to lose. You know, I could pick out everyone who's going to lose. Who's the only game that might go up? The 4 and 5 seed. We might get a surprise there. And, yeah, you know, if an 8 seed beats a number 1 seed, well. You know, I don't know. There just isn't a whole lot. And then you get to the NBA Finals where even that you're really not surprised at because for like 3 or 4 seasons, you and I picked the NBA Finals before the season started. And not just you and I, though. I'd love to be like, oh, Big Jack and I are genius pickers for the NBA. That was literally the entire NBA nation, anyone who covers the game. It wasn't just you and I. ESPN, you know, NBA Hoops, you know, whatever that those other websites are, Bleacher Report, everybody, when they put out their prediction, nobody even puts out any predictions on anything else except for who the finals are going to be. And we all picked the same two damn teams, LeBron's team and the Warriors. You know, and I think that's what has lost a lot of the attraction. You know, I'm not saying that the Warriors ruined it, but that era, that 5-year period, just kind of, for me, I just fell off more and more.
Yeah, I, you know, that, and I think the building super team garbage where you get together and play with all your buddies really hurt the NBA.
Yeah.
You know. Well, you know, and like the funny thing, last year you were locked in your house. Well, actually, you're still locked in there because you're still working from home. I at least, got to continue to go to work. But, there were people just stuck at home with nothing to do but watch their television, and they didn't turn the NBA Finals on. Especially if you're a sports fan and you didn't watch the NBA Finals, did you watch the axe-throwing league, or was cornhole more interesting? The American Cornhole League, what was going on there that was better than watching, the NBA? I almost stumbled and said an actual sporting event, but I don't want to be mean like that because I'm of ability to throw that little cornhole into that damn hole because I probably couldn't do it. But, it's just so strange that nobody tuned in, but we were all at home.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, but I'll be flat out honest with you. If the NBA Finals are on and Mookie Betts is doing, which he does it around the Super Bowl, but if Mookie Betts did a bowling league during the NBA Finals, granted it's baseball season, so he can't, I would tune into that. Over, I'd rather go watch some tennis that I have no clue who these guys are on the marquee network than kind of watch the NBA Finals. For years, a couple of years, they were really talent, marketing and, the people who covered the game, you're really missing out. If you're not watching the NBA Finals, this is the greatest basketball you'll ever see. And then you turn it on, and LeBron gets poked in the eye by his own player, flops around. Now I finally get the whole flopping term, like a fish, flopping around on the ground. And then you watch, the other team get a technical foul, and you're like, why am I watching this game? There's no rule. They're not allowed to challenge a wrong call like that, which...
They'll take this and look at an old black TV to try to figure something else out.
Yeah, exactly. But then 3 days later, the NBA officiating crew will come out with a statement, or NBA in general.
Yeah.
So-and-so was wrong. That shouldn't have happened. Okay, so what's the repercussions? Oh, there isn't any. Just like there isn't any repercussions for LeBron after violating COVID rules.
That wasn't going to happen. Charles Barkley had the best quote about that when he said, balls to suspend the ball, because he's right on with that. And that's part of the blog today, too, if you want to go read that. It's time for Dan and I to roll, and I'm going to try to get my keys out of the cup. Thank you.